More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Wednesday, October 12th edition of the program. Oh my, we've got so much. Biden and Fetterman with major cognitive issues, that's for sure. We've also got Joe Biden doing an interview with CNN in which he addressed the allegations against his son, Hunter Biden, kind of. A little bit of a dance around the actual substance of this. Plus, you've got Fetterman, who has to have interviews read off of a screen, and he wants to be the next senator from Pennsylvania. This is absurd. We're seeing a cognitive collapse of Democrats in real time here. Plus, Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, knew that Border Patrol agents did nothing wrong, did not whip anybody before. This is based on documentary evidence before he actually went out there and told the country, oh, what happened with the horseback Border Patrol agents was terrible. It was awful what happened because he's pandering. He's gross. He doesn't care about Border Patrol or the rule of law or just basic decency. And then Eric Adams here in New York City telling libs, stop complaining about migrants being deposited in your neighborhood because they're going to deposit illegal migrants in all the neighborhoods. That's interesting. But also, why are libs complaining about this? We thought that they were going to feel their lives enriched like the migrants did for 2 days, 48 hours in Martha's Vineyard. Remember that? Almost like they're kind of lying to us about all this. Before we get into all that, Giza Dream Sheets, they're amazing. I love the Giza Dream Sheets. I sleep on them every night. You should, too. These are the best, most breathable, soft, crisp sheets you will ever own. But they're very durable, too. So I love mine. I've got multiple pairs at home. And Mike Lindell's MyPillow, giving you an amazing deal on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've been hearing me talk about for a long time because these are my sheets. I sleep on them every night. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets are at the lowest price ever offered. 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code BUCK. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special Square to check out this flash sale on the Giza Dream Sheets along with other limited-time offers. Enter promo code BUCK. That's promo code B-U-C-K. For the Giza Dream Sheet special, they're amazing. All right, we've got to talk Fetterman here for a second. This is crazy. Let's just talk about this for a second. They're forcing us. They're putting us in a position to say that this guy's brain is not working the way that it should. It is not a healthy brain. His cortex is not functioning. The synapses are not firing the way that they are supposed to. Now, if this was just a guy, I'd say, oh gosh, got to get him help. Hope his family's taking care of him. Wish him well. Hope he makes a full recovery. But he wants to be a U.S. senator. He might be the Senate seat that changes the balance of power from Democrat to Republican. Ah, the politics. That's why they don't care. This is why I think it's obvious that Democrats at this point would be willing to vote for somebody. I think Democrats would vote for a candidate who was in a coma over a Republican. They just don't care. They say, well, he'll wake up at some point. We don't know when, but better to have a Democrat who is in a coma than a Republican who is fine and awake and healthy. In fact, Fetterman tweeted out earlier today that Dr. Oz is healthy and rich, unlike a lot of Pennsylvanians. So it's Dr. Oz's fault that he is cognitively all there? I mean, this is how they're going to play. This is how Fetterman's playing the game. This is crazy stuff. Here is an NBC reporter who interviewed Fetterman. Remember, they have to set up a monitor for him that scrolls through the words that are being said so he can read off the monitor. You're seeing this in real time. And she said not only was that a little off-putting, but also he doesn't actually seem to process the words that are being said to him that were being said to him off camera. Here she is, play 13.
We had a monitor set up so that he could read my questions because he still has lingering auditory processing issues as a result of the stroke, which means he has a hard time understanding what he's hearing. Now, once he reads the question, he's able to understand. You'll hear he also still has some problems, some challenges with speech. And I'll say that just in some of the small talk prior to the interview, before the closed captioning was up and running, it did seem that he had a hard time understanding our conversations.
Hard time understanding conversations. Vote for Fetterman. I mean, these people are nuts. These people are nuts. What else can you say? I mean, they just don't care. It doesn't matter to them. They're going to vote for him anyway. It makes no difference. So you have the cognitively challenged, not entirely functioning cerebral cortex of John Fetterman. Look, the guy had a stroke. I know it's serious. It's horrible. But we want him to get well. He should not be running for Senate. For health reasons, people drop out of political races because they can't do the job and because they didn't focus on their health. To stay in this race is ruthless and reckless from a political standpoint, and everybody knows it, but Fetterman's going to do it anyway. Doesn't care. Just doesn't care. And then there's Joe Biden, who is also having foggy moments. Oh, he's sharp as a tack behind closed doors. That's what they always say. Sharp as a tack. Yeah, sure he is. Biden was asked about his son's... well, first we'll do the question. Here is Jake Tapper over at CNN asking Biden, and he's asking him in a very deferential way, obviously. Hey, you know your son's kind of maybe facing federal charges, according to even the Washington Post now, not just right-wing media. What do you think about that? Here's the question.
CNN's reporting and the Washington Post reporting suggests the prosecutors think they have enough to charge your son, Hunter, for tax crimes and a false statement about a gun purchase. Personally and politically, how do you react to that?
Now, bringing the personal into this creates the opportunity for the Biden smokescreen, which is what he always does. I love my son. I just love him. I love him so much. And everyone loves their children or should love their children. That's irrelevant to whether or not, one, the sitting president's son committed multiple felonies, and two, was the sitting president's son committing felonies? Remember, the tax evasion, this is what they don't want to talk about. The tax evasion is only made possible by the influence peddling, which was only possible because then crack addicted Hunter had a daddy who was vice president of the United States and point man for foreign policy for the Obama administration in Ukraine and China. Oh, you mean the countries that gave Hunter the crackhead all the money for what? are also countries where daddy is in charge for the entire United States government and apparatus and supposedly representing 330 million Americans in the best possible way. That's the part that they don't want you thinking about. That's the part that's just, whoopsie, what are you talking about? It's just about Hunter's drugs. Anyway, here is Joe Biden, kind of, you know, made this irrelevant, I guess, but you can hear it. Here's Joe Biden saying, you know, I love my son and blah, 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 here.
Well, first of all, I'm proud of my son. This is a kid who got, not a kid, he's a grown man. He got hooked on, like many families have had happen, hooked on drugs. He's overcome that. He's established a new life. By the way, this thing about a gun, I didn't know anything about it, but turns out that when he made my application to purchase a gun, what happened was he stayed, I guess you get asked, I don't guess, you get asked the question, are you on drugs, you use drugs? He said no. And he wrote about saying no in his book. So I have great confidence in my son. I love him. And he's on the straight and narrow, and he has been for a couple of years now. And I'm just so proud of him.
See, using the love a father has for a son as a shield here against the reality of what was going on in the Biden family, which was corruption. Which was corruption. But this is why Biden uses this as a smokescreen. He uses this really as a means of leveraging the sympathy and decency that conservatives certainly possess much more than the left does in this country, so that it's okay, well, you know, it's father. No, no, no. This is about corruption. This is about rule of law. This is about the Biden administration being full of people who pushed the Russia collusion hoax for years and who wanted President Trump and his children, his adult children. Remember, President Trump's adult children were all supposed to go to prison for what? Ah, they're evil. Russia. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Shouting about something. It's also come out now that $1 million was offered by the FBI. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Does that feel like what you expect in a liberal democracy? The federal police state is offering somebody during an election $1 million to prove that effectively a smear campaign started by his political opponent is true. Hey, here's $1 million. If you can prove to us that the thing that Hillary Clinton's campaign started anyway is actually true. Oh, yeah, sure. But these are honest people. These are the people that are concerned about our democracy, threats to our democracy. Oh, my gosh. Anyone who uses the term threats to our democracy, it's the same people that announce their pronouns when no one's asking and nobody cares, who still mask because why not? And so often, what's with the craziest leftists and blue, like dyed blue? I don't mean blue because of age. People say the dyed blue hair thing. When did this become? It's like, I'm a communist. I'm dyeing my hair blue. Why? You see this, though, in the videos. The more crazy and unhappy and pro-Biden, oh, women's rights, Biden, blue hair, dyed like a oceanic blue color or something. It's like, what is this? I just don't understand. No one ever explains this to me. When did that become a thing? Look, I know I'm not stylish. I'm rocking Fetterman style over here. But I do think the blue hair, I think going full Smurf, well, I guess the Smurf's hair, do we know what color they? No. Is their hair blue? Because they always have hats on, right? But it's blue. The hair is, we don't know what's under the hat. Smurfette's a blonde, if I recall, to be fair. So anyway, going full Smurf with the hair is, I don't get it. And I don't know, I've never met a conservative. I've never met a Republican or seen one or had any evidence of one ever who had the dyed blue hair and was like, yeah, I believe in gun rights and like traditional family values. Never happened. I just think it's interesting. Have you ever thought about investing in real estate, my friends? Look, we could be heading into a big real estate correction. Now, you might be saying, oh, why are we talking about real estate? Because prices of properties are going to be going down. It's a good buying opportunity, depending on the market. But you got to know where. You need expertise. Because if you want to become a real estate investor and build a portfolio like I'm doing, you need people who are expert in different areas of the country in buying single-family homes that you will build equity in over time, get free cash flow. It's a way to build financial stability for yourself and even help you in retirement. Done for your real estate. Those are the people that I work with. I trust them. I've worked with them for years. I think we're heading into a period here where you could get some really good prices on single family homes, and you can build over time your investment as a means of creating financial stability for yourself down the line. So you've got to go check out my friends at Done For You Real Estate. It's doneforyoubuck.com. Doneforyoubuck.com. Go to Done For You Real Estate. You can set up with them. They'll pre-qual you, set up a Zoom call. Becoming a real estate investor is easier than you think, but you do need experts to help you through the process and to teach you what's going on so you do it the right way. Doneforyoubuck.com. Now, a couple things on the immigration front here, illegal immigration. First of all, you have Mayor Eric Adams of New York talking about migrant shelters. He's saying they're going to open. Remember, these are illegal migrants, many of whom have been bussed into New York City by Governor Abbott of Texas. He's saying, look, we're going to build these shelters in every community.
Every community is going to see asylum seekers. And so Staten Island and other communities, everyone is going to see asylum seekers. So all the calls that I'm getting from elected officials, all the calls that I'm hearing from people of saying, you know, please not here, that just can't happen. This is a citywide crisis, and all of us are going to be impacted.
Notice what he said there. Just think about this for a second. This is the mayor of New York is saying all the, you know, community and city leaders who are saying no illegal migrants here, please. He just sort of slips that in there. Those are all Democrats, folks. Okay, this whole city is right. There are no Republicans in New York City with the exception of like two of them in Staten Island, basically. Okay, and they're not, that's no migrants have gone there that I know of yet. So the people that are calling in saying we don't want illegal migrants in our community, they are literally calling the mayor's office and saying that, according to the mayor, are Democrats. Oh, wait, but I thought that the tableau, the mosaic, the melting pot of America was made richer, happier, and better with more illegal immigration. That's not what Democrats say. So shouldn't communities be fighting over? Shouldn't left-wing Democrat communities like New York City be fighting over getting as many illegal migrants for their community as possible, right? That should be the very straightforward proposition, but no, somehow they don't want them in their community. Oh, it's interesting. I told you, even where I live in Midtown Manhattan, there are a lot of dozens of these migrant children, unaccompanied migrant children, are in the school system now, and there are parents who are complaining. They're all Democrats, folks, okay? These are all Democrat parents who are complaining. They're complaining because they're saying the schools are now overcrowded, that these students do not speak any English. They've been through a tremendous trauma being brought here, unaccompanied minor, cartels trafficking them, and just the implications of this. But if you question any of this or have any concerns about the wide open border and the invitation for more illegal immigration, if you have any problem with any of that, you're a bad person, you're a racist. That's what the Democrats say. But then they have problems with those things when they actually have to deal with them. Isn't that fascinating? Isn't that interesting that when it really comes to it, they don't believe the things that they say and that they use as political weapons against the other side? How dare you? How dare you? We're a nation of immigrants, apparently a nation of illegal immigrants now. That's the point. I have to on this. Mayor Eric Adams is signing legislation saying that Times Square, I feel so much safer. It's a gun-free zone now.
We are projected to receive 56 million tourists in this city. Many of them come through Times Square. It has become a signature of this city, and we want to make sure that they're safe. We're not going to live in fear, and we're going to make sure we create an environment where those who visit the city, such as Times Square, won't have to be paralyzed with the fear of knowing that someone is carrying a gun in this area. Today, we enshrine in law that Times Square is a gun-free zone.
Is it possible that he's really that stupid? Is it feasible? They're putting up signs in Times Square that say gun-free zone. There are huge numbers of people coming and going from times. It's outdoor area. Huge numbers of people coming and going. They're not patting everybody down. They're not coming through metal detectors. Although maybe they'll do that next. So a person who's carrying a gun illegally on the streets of New York City anyway, because almost no person is able to get a concealed carry permit here legally. It's almost impossible unless you're a former police officer or you're really connected. So the person who's illegally carrying a gun anyway is going to walk up to Times Square, see that sign and say, whoa, hold on a second. I mean, I'm willing to face felony charges for illegally carrying it on 50th Street. But once you cross down to 47th Street where Times Square begins, oh, man, or 42nd Street where Times Square south, north, you know, that's too much, man. I can't break that law. So all the terrorists and gangbangers and career criminals owe a debt of gratitude to Mayor Adams for making it clear to them, hey, you're going to do all those other laws that you're going to break and you're going to murder people, you're going to rob people, you're going to carjack them, but you are not, sir, going to illegally carry a weapon in Times Square. I don't understand how it's possible for the mayor to be this dumb. I meaning that I think that he knows this is stupid, but he's pandering. I think that he knows this is dumb because it's not possible to be that stupid. Is it? I don't know. Mayorkas, speaking of border issues, this has come out. Remember the horse whipping allegation about Border Patrol, as in Border Patrol members mounted with reins in their hands for guiding the horse, not a whip, and no one was whipped with it. There are now documents proving that the DHS Secretary Mayorkas knew that there was nobody whipped by Border Patrol, and yet he went out and said what he saw was horrifying. He went before the American people and said it was horrifying what they did. And this is just the worst kind of pandering. I mean, it could ruin the careers and the lives of these members of Border Patrol who did nothing wrong, not even close. They were just, you know, this is like if someone's driving along in a car, you're like, I think he ran somebody over. No, he's just driving a car, didn't run anybody over. I think he ran somebody over. Just a bald-faced lie. They do not care. You know why? Because it was a moment to talk about the history of racism in this country, and Democrats feel like, oh, we're the heroes in this struggle. So they just go with it anyway. This is from a cabinet member of the Biden administration, Mayorkas, a grotesque liar, just like Joe Biden is, by the way, another grotesque liar. And they want to lecture you on how they're going to make everything better. And, you know, oh, yeah, let's just give them amnesty. That's the plan for Democrats when it comes to illegal immigration. Oh, yeah, that's going to go over really well for the country. Look, friends, we got to stay on this. Just a quick word here. Angela Lansbury passed away. I just 96 years old. Love Murder, She Wrote, man. That was a good. Did you guys watch that show? I used to watch that show. I had a. Maybe I don't know. Some of you are going to make fun of me. I had an English nanny growing up, and she was like in her 60s. And, you know, think kind of like Mrs. Doubtfire, except not Robin Williams in a suit. And we used to watch Murder, She Wrote together. And it was one of the only shows that she liked that I liked. I was like 8 years old, 10 years old, whatever. I would watch Murder, She Wrote with her. So it brings back these memories. I thought it was so well done. I really did. That was a great. And apparently, I thought this was cool. Angela Lansbury made it a point to hire older actors who were having trouble getting work to be in the series so that they could get the SAG points to make sure they qualified for their health insurance and other benefits. So, you know, I think that's a very honorable, very noble thing to do. And I love that show. I really did growing up. It was good, but it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any, I don't remember any politics or anything else. It was, you're just in for murder mystery stuff. And she did an excellent job. So I was a big, I got to tell you, big Angela Lansbury fan. I even thought she did a good job as the tea kettle in Beauty and the Beast, which is, you know, animated, but it was well done for what it is. The Dahmer series, I've also been watching, going in a very different direction here. Wow. I can't recommend that one for you because It's tough. Second most watched series ever on Netflix, though. Second most watched series ever so far. Yeah, stick to Murder, She Wrote. If you're gonna watch something about murders, Murder, She Wrote. You know, you could sit there with your tea and your crumpets, and it's much better, much better. Talk to you tomorrow. Shields high.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.